And a good afternoon. We have a two-hour show for you, getting ready for Raider football and a huge game against Kansas City. The Kings last night, game one of 82, and we got a lot to talk about there. Doug Christie, how are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic. Napes, how they treat you down there in Dallas?
Hey, you know what? It's great. The people down here in Texas, and I really mean this, they're like the nicest people in the country. The people down, I mean, like, it's. I hate Dallas in terms of their sports, you know what I'm saying? Like the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But the people down here are the best. I don't know how you felt when you traveled through Texas, but the people in Dallas are the nicest people in the world. And I'm not just saying that because my wife's from Dallas, and she's pretty nice, Doug. You know that. You know my wife. It's just the people down here are amazing. They're just nice people.
You know, I found them to be so kind on the sidelines when we were playing, Grant. I mean, just some of the most gracious things they would say. Not so much.
No, I know. I was going to, I was thinking about how to respond to that without getting fired. But anyway, last night, a lot of good things. I mean, not everything was perfect, but there were a lot of positives. And why don't we start with a guy that we were concerned about and Willie Cauley-Stein, because he did not have a good preseason. But you know what, Doug? If Willie Cauley-Stein can give you that night in, night out, no one's going to be complaining.
They should not be. I mean, that is a double-double. I can critique and be a bit particular about some defensive things and maybe even more energy as far as using his athleticism, but to deliver 21 and 10 on a night-to-night basis, and Dan, I can't argue with it at all. I was happy for him, Grant, because initially in that first quarter and then he sat down, I'm thinking, oh boy, but he came out firing and he played really well.
All right, now at the end of the game, the review, I want to give you my vantage point and then I'm going to go to you, okay? So the inbounds, it goes out of bounds. I see the official on the far side, Kevin Scott, point towards the direction, meaning the other way, Sacramento ball. I also see him immediately do the 360 with his finger above his head, which means review, okay? And then I see the other officials also signal review. And so automatically, I'm thinking, okay, you know what? They're reviewing to make sure that the ball went out of bounds off of the Houston Rockets. And I'm going to tell you what I think happened and why this occurred. Because I'll tell you this, Doug, if they were only reviewing for that purpose, that review would not have taken as long as it did. It would have been very simple, because a lot of fans don't understand. The officials on the court are not making the decision. The decision is being made by the replay officials in Secaucus, New Jersey. And so I've had the pleasure of going back there and seeing how that operation works. And so what happens is, as soon as an official in the replay center sees that there's going to be a review, they automatically start rewinding and looking at the video before the on-court official even gets over to the table to put the headset on. And so generally what will happen is, by the time the official gets over to the court, puts his headset on, and starts, you know, looking at the monitor and conversing with the on-site replay official in New Jersey, the decision's already been made. They already have an answer for him. If it were just a foul, in other words, if that were the case, why did it take 2 minutes? Here's what I think happened, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the replay official in New Jersey never saw that there had been a foul called. They assumed that the ball was just out of bounds, and they were looking for that. And then when the on-court official put the headset on, he said, no, there was a foul call that we don't know who the foul was on, meaning which player. We need to identify that player. And then at that point, the replay official in New Jersey said, oh, we thought we were replaying, you know, who was the ball off of. That's the only thing I can think of, Doug, because I'll tell you this. If it had been a foul call, and I'm not so sure that there was, I'm just telling you honestly, I don't know the answer to that question. If that's the case, Doug, why would it take 2 minutes to identify who the foul was on? That could be done in 10 seconds. And I didn't think George Hill fouled Eric Gordon. Did you?
I don't think that there was a foul. I think that you're spot on with the situation and how things laid out. They looked for something else, and then when the refs came over, they seen something different. My problem, Grant, is the ref on the sideline, I think you said Scott, Kevin Scott. Yeah, he had the best vision. The guy that called the foul was on the baseline. He was looking at people's backs. There's no way where the foul could have took place that he could have even saw it. My question to you is, Grant, if you call a foul, you should know who that foul is on. Yeah, I would think so. Because you saw a foul.
Yes, exactly. I never did. Did you see a foul called?
I did not. Even in the soft NBA that we have right now, it wasn't even a foul in that league, Grant.
No, but I mean, did you see the official raise his hand to signal a foul? I never saw that.
Yes, underneath the basket.
I never saw that.
Yeah, I believe the ref underneath the basket signaled with his hand straight up in the air. The ref on the sideline, Kevin Scott, said he had his hands up in the air, which means that he was about to point the other way because he saw the ball go out the way that it would have been.
He did point the other way. He did point the other way, and then he went to review it. He never knew that there was a foul called either. Was the official on the baseline Derek Richardson, or was it Bill Spooner?
I think it was Derek Richardson. Okay. It was Derek Richardson.
Okay. So Derek Richardson calls a foul, right?
Yep.
All right. He called a foul on George Hill, correct?
I have no idea because I lost my mind. I'm sorry.
Well, George Hill is the one that was defending Eric Gordon when the ball went out of bounds.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that first replay, okay, even if the on-site official in New Jersey thought they were reviewing out of bounds, he then, within 10 seconds, while he's talking to the crew chief, Bill Spooner, could say, the player that Derek called the foul on is George Hill, all right?
Yep.
And why would it take 2 minutes after that?
You know
and here's the other thing. Uh-huh. The communication by the officials was horrible.
Yes.
Because the teams had no idea there had been a foul called, and I can tell you that from the Kings huddle, they were all looking at me, coaches and players, because they wanted me to tell them who the ball was off of, because they want to prepare for the play. You know what I mean? They want to know, is it our ball, is it their ball? They didn't know. The officials the officials last night did an awful. And I have the utmost respect for NBA officials, and
I think
Bill Spooner is a great ref, and I mean that, and I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to cover my butt. You know, if I didn't think that, I would tell you. But they did a horrible job in communicating last night in that situation. Awful job.
You know, Grant, my problem with it is, if you see a foul, you should automatically know who that foul is on. So he shouldn't have needed to go there. Now, there was, I believe, two Kings players there, but that really doesn't matter either because you're looking at the play and you're going to see a foul. If you can't see it, that lets you know in and of itself that it's not a foul.
Okay.
But the ball did go off of Gordon's hand.
Yes.
So there was no question that it would have been King's ball.
All right. Did it cost the Kings the game? No, I don't think it did.
No.
Because then the Kings still would have had to make a three.
Yeah.
They would have then probably had to stop Houston, and if they didn't, it would have gone to overtime. But again, we can't ignore what happened at the end of the game. And I got to tell you, when Bill Spooner took the headset off at the end of the review and signaled with his hand up in the air two free throws, and then the team started walking towards the other end of the court, I was baffled and I was bothered. Because my job as an announcer is to get everything right. I mean, because my job is to tell the people at home what's going on. I had no idea what was going on. Jerry Reynolds had no idea what was going on. The Sacramento Kings coaches and players had no idea what was going on. Nobody had any idea what was going on. And I got to tell you, I think that's a real bad job by the officials in their lack of communication. Because everyone in the arena, including the Rockets and the Kings, thought that they were reviewing whose ball was it going to be, who did the ball go off of. Nobody knew there had been a foul called.
No, and it's unfortunate, Grant. Whatever the circumstances would have been after that, you should be able, you know what, if you go back and you look and there is no foul, maybe they need to say that. You know, there was no foul. Our bad. The ball is off of Houston King's ball. But that was just, it was terrible. I didn't even see them touch each other, really, to be honest with you,
yeah,
Grant.
Yeah, it was awful. It was terrible. All right, so we covered that. Let's get to some of the other aspects. You and I, we've been saying this, not that we are the only ones. Everyone's been saying this. The Kings have a very special player on their team, and his name is De'Aaron Fox. And barring injury, I just can't see any way that this guy does not turn out to be like a franchise type of a player.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at compare him to a John Wall, different players that have come from Kentucky, similar speed, not built the same, whatever. But you see John Wall is an all-star. He has all the different attributes. He plays on the defensive end. He is solid there. Grant, there is a special – when it comes to speed and you're moving faster than NBA players and it's noticeable, that lets you know it's on another level. But his ability to get in the lane, to finish, to understand time and score and what Coach Yeager wants and know that I need to get the ball to somebody, I see all those things in him. And it's really a blessing for Kings fans.
Well, it is. Again, barring injury, I can't see this guy not turning out to be, a franchise type of a player. I was very impressed with what I saw. We talked about Willie. I thought Scal had a solid first game. I thought that, Buddy, who's been awful in the preseason in terms of shooting, finally found a stroke. And, Doug, you played at the two guard, and, you were a defensive specialist, but I think you were always – I don't think you were ever given enough credit for your offense. But once that first one goes in and the second one goes in, it's like a batter in baseball where, you're in a 0-for-20 slump, and then you get, a ball that is off the end of the bat that squeaks through, and then your next time up you get a base hit, and then all of a sudden you go on a hot streak. I think the same thing can happen for Buddy now. I think that's got maybe is what he needed, what happened in that second half last night.
I would agree with that. Watching the ball go in for him, it was almost a relief, it looked like. And then after that, he has the ability, Grant, to chase the ball down. And when he catches it, if he's open, it almost feels like it's going to go in. And after the first one went in, you could see that about him. He was running with purpose, trying to get it. And the defense, they had to put Trevor Ariza on him because they needed length and a defender that was going to be right on top of him. So I was glad to see that from him. Now we need to see that continue to carry into the next games.
Yeah, all right. If you want to talk about last night's game, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, I thought there were a lot of positives last night. Again, no Bogdan Bogdanovic, no Zach Randolph. Yes, I'm aware that Chris Paul didn't play for Houston, but I'm only speaking about from the Kings' perspective right now. Malachi Richardson did not play well. He had an opportunity, and he had a really rough go when he was playing. He did not play well last night.
Yeah, I watched him warm up before the game, and he was on fire. He was knocking down shots. Then he got that first look, and the ball was swung around, and it ended up being an air ball. And I don't know if that was just a shocker to him, but, with young players, Grant, something that I always tell them is you got to be able to affect the game in more ways than one. That one shot shouldn't be able to take away from your game. You got length and strength and athleticism. D up, get on the boards, get deflections, be energy for your team. There, in and of itself, you will find more minutes if you're not shooting the ball well.
All right. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Something else in the NBA I wanted to go to last night, which I was just stunned when I saw this, okay? Do you know that the Detroit Pistons last night, Doug, played their first ever game at Little Caesars Arena? I'm really looking forward. We're going to be there in a couple of weeks, all right?
Yes, and shout out to Chris Granger, by the way. Yeah.
Yes. They moved from the Palace in Auburn Hills, Michigan, to downtown.
Yep.
The arena has a capacity of 21,000, okay?
Okay.
So the Pistons, who are struggling up in Auburn Hills, I think last year they were near the bottom of the barrel in the NBA. They said, we're going to move downtown, we're going to have a new arena, and this is going to really help us out. The attendance last night, are you ready for this?
Shoot me.
For the opening game in Little Caesars Arena, 9,528.
What? Wow.
Tickets were being given away, not sold, until shortly before tip-off, according to the Real GM story that I'm reading. Now,
wow.
Think about that. Think about that for a minute.
Grant, 9,000. Hold on for a second. So you get 9,000, you're giving tickets away. You tell me, do you think it's because of the relocation and now where it's at? What do you think because they used to draw better than that in Auburn Hills.
I don't have any answer. Now, I know that the Detroit Red Wings are their king in that market in the winter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Red Wings are where it's at, even though they haven't been good the last few years, but they've had phenomenal runs, but they're hockey crazy there, okay? But are you kidding me? 9,500? Are you kidding me? For an opener?
Yeah, that's a shame. Even, it's the opener. It's a new arena. There are so many different things. And they went out and they won a ball game. That's unfortunate, Grant. I would expect more from Detroit fans because for many years we went there and they had some pretty good fans. But that was in Auburn Hills.
All right. There were some phenomenal rookie performances. When I say phenomenal, I mean, like, let me back up. Like, for here in Dallas, a player that the Kings are going to see tomorrow, Dennis Smith Jr., 16 points, 10 assists, okay? I looked at some of the other numbers from around the league. This rookie class, Doug, is going to end up, you know, it could very well end up being one of the best rookie classes we've ever seen in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, you look at Dennis Smith Jr., boy, oh boy, man, he jumps out at you. You're going to get a look at Lonzo tonight in Los Angeles. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox last night. There are a lot of really, really good, talented. Not to mention, man, did you see the Philadelphia 76ers?
Yes.
Wow. They fly around the court, a physical style, an aggressive style. And I want to say that they have two rookies, Markel Fultz and the other kid, because he didn't play last year, correct?
Yeah, Ben Simmons. He's a rookie because he did not play. That's correct.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. Yeah, this is a class that will, yeah, I agree with you, Grant. They're going to go down. They have a lot of talent in this class.
You know, we look at what happened, in the NBA last night. And the teams that the Kings are all playing on this trip, beginning tomorrow in Dallas, Saturday in Denver, and Monday Phoenix, all three of those teams lost. And what I found to be interesting is the Phoenix Suns were embarrassed. I mean, they were embarrassed on their home floor. How about this score for you? 124-76 in the home opener, the Suns lose.
Did you say that correctly, Grant?
124-76, the Suns at home. And a guy... So I went and looked at the box score on the plane today, right? I was flying here this morning.
Yeah.
And because I wanted to see what, I wanted to see what Josh Jackson did, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, let's see, where is Marquese Chris? Do you know that Marquese Chris only played 12 minutes last night?
Really?
Yep. He didn't even start. He played 12 minutes.
Wonder what's up with that.
He had 2 points and one rebound. Their starting lineup last night for the Phoenix Suns, Devin Booker, Eric Bledsoe, Tyson Chandler, Josh Jackson, and T.J. Warren.
Wow.
How about that?
How about that? That is that's news, Grant. I mean, because as far as a talent, man, you can see that he has the athleticism, all the different things. We'll have to keep our eye on what's going on in Phoenix, but that was an absolute – man, they drug them around the floor. And you know what? Josh Jackson, he scores 11. His first two were like the first two of the game. They were a highlight dunk. And after that, it was downhill.
All right. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, we want to take your phone calls on what you thought of the Kings last night. And then tonight, coming up right here on Sports 1140 KHDK, it's the Raiders and the Chiefs. David Carr of the NFL Network, yes, Derek's brother, is going to come on with us at 4 o'clock. So we'll talk to him from the NFL Network. That's coming up at 4 o'clock today. Again, this is a must-win game for the Raiders without it actually being a must-win game.
I think it is a must-win game, even though you're saying it's not a must-win game, Grant. Five in a row, two division losses, back-to-back weeks, not playing well. I said this yesterday. The fact is, if you lost some games like this, but, you know, you were playing well and you lost, that's one thing. But they aren't playing well. Their quarterback has been injured. Offensive line troubles. Defense has never been their MO since last year. They can't depend on that. This is an absolute must-win, in my opinion, Grant.
All right, so if you're on your way to the game, give us a shout, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I thought George Hill played well last night for the Kings. I think this Kings team, and again, I'm not projecting playoffs or anything. I'm going for this week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This team, really, to me, when I look at tomorrow and Monday, I think the Kings are better than both those teams, but what I think doesn't matter. Go out and prove it. Go out and beat Dallas tomorrow. Go out and beat Phoenix on Monday and then throw the ball up and see what happens Saturday. But I think the Kings are a better team than Dallas.
Looking at it, I would agree with you, Grant. I mean, you look and you go, oh, Dirk Nowitzki, but he is getting really long in the tooth. Even shooting spot-up jump shots, he didn't knock any down. Now, you don't want to leave him open. That's, you bring in a Dennis Smith Jr. You know, they have some pieces, but I would say the Kings are deeper. The only thing that where Kings fans are going to fluctuate, and it's going to cause some pain this year, is learning how to win games like last night, Grant. And you got to go through the pain and get put in that position to understand how aggressive, how focused, how concentrated you need to be to win games, those close ones.
anything stick out that we have not talked about last night that you wanted to? Because, you know, we saw Justin Jackson get the start at small forward, so that's invaluable experience for him. Mm-hmm. Is he one of the Kings' five best players? No, he's not, but, you know, that's the way Dave Yeager wanted to go, and then he brings a Garrett Temple off the bench. He brings, you know, other players off the bench. You and I both want to see what the rotation is going to look like when Bogdan is ready to play. Any other things stick out last night?
Well, early, I like the fact that I think at halftime they only had like five or six turnovers, but they ended up with 18 for 21 points. And then the other thing that really stuck out, Grant, is going to the free throw line. Kings only got there 10 times. They're going to have to learn how to get in the lane, be aggressive, draw fouls, and get to the line, because that is a way that you can stay in game, stop bleeding, you can score, you can become a scorer, knock down shots. So those are the two areas that, you know, more than anything, I thought, you know, rebounding, that was an area that we had talked about, but last night they hung in there. There was 44-42, 12 offensive for Houston Rockets, a little more than you want to see, but that's where gang rebounding comes in play.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, one other footnote, by the way, the NBA admitted, all right, that George Hill did not foul Eric Gordon.
Okay, there you go. I mean, it's always sucks, Grant, when they give it to you on the back end. I respect the fact that they recognize that it was a bad call, and it was not the correct call, though.
Yeah, it's just I you know, again, they come out with the last 2-minute report, and again, do I think that cost the Kings the game? No, I don't. But it certainly would have set up for a very exciting finish. We can agree on that, correct?
Oh, by all means. And I want all the reps that are due to me, Grant. Hell with that. If I get to have another rep, damn it, I want the rep. I didn't get it, and that doesn't make me happy.
You're a beauty. You know that?
Yeah. I've heard it from time to time.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, if it's what's done is done. All right. I'm not going to. I'm not going to totally lose sleep on this, but I just that whole sequence at the end of the game made absolutely zero sense to me.
And let me say this to you, Grant. See, Coach Yeager, he's trying to teach them how to win. He's trying to teach them on the defensive end. And guess what they do, Grant? They go out, they defend an inbounds play, they get that stop. They need to be rewarded as a young team for the opportunity. Now, the next part of that learning is, can we focus in the huddle? Can we execute on the screens? Can we make the correct inbounds play? Can we run this play and knock down the shot? Those are all parts of this learning. They did one piece, but they didn't get rewarded for it. Damn! That's what I say.
Yeah. And again, I want to go back and look at the last 2-minute report. Okay, so they say that George Hill makes marginal contact with Gordon that does not affect his ability to control the ball. Incorrect call, all right? Then they go and they say in the instant replay to support the ruling, again, here's the language by the NBA. After communicating with the replay center, it is determined that Gordon is the correct free throw shooter. So, again, I want to go back here, okay? Mm-hmm. They were reviewing not who fouled or allegedly fouled mm-hmm. Eric Gordon, they were reviewing who should have gone to the line. Now, I'm going to ask you again, Doug Christie. Mm-hmm. Why would it take 2 minutes on video to see that that was Eric Gordon, regardless of whether you think he was fouled or not? Throw that out the window.
Okay.
I saw that not only live, but when I looked at the first replay, there was no imposter on the floor that looked like Eric Gordon. Okay, it could have only been Eric Gordon.
Right.
Why did the NBA take 2 minutes, Doug, to tell us that Eric Gordon was the one that should have shot free throws? Where was the mystery there? I don't understand that. That's why this whole thing is being there's something going on that we are not aware of, because it would not take 2 minutes to identify Eric Gordon was the guy that was fouled. If that's what you called, all right, but you couldn't see because you were screened of who.
If you were screened, you couldn't see the foul then, Grant.
Okay, but forget about that. That doesn't even matter right now.
Okay.
You go to replay, and you can say, oh, yeah, that's Eric Gordon. Okay, headset off, let's play the game. Why did it take 2 minutes, Doug?
I think you were spot on in the beginning. I think that Secaucus went right to what they were supposed to do, to see whose ball it was. They knew as soon as the refs put the headset on, and the refs gave them some new information. No, we're not looking at whose ball it is. Who committed the foul, because we lost it in translation somehow.
Again, There is something that we are not being told here, and I'm not saying there's a cover-up. I'm just saying that there's a communication problem here. This makes even makes less sense now after reading the two-minute report, because I have it in front of me, and they're saying that they were reviewing who should have been shooting free throws. Well, that was could have been determined in 5 seconds. Even after they were looking at something else, they could have said, oh, no, it's Eric Gordon. Okay, headset off. Let's continue the game. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we are going to get to some phone calls, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. I wanted to read one quote from after the game, George Hill. Vince Carter did a story on Mark Spears, the undefeated, on ESPN. And he said George Hill stepped in front of the group after the game and said, quote, it was a pleasure playing with guys like this. He says, we had a tough call that didn't go our way near the end of the game. We could have gone five different ways. Everybody stuck together. They're raw. The young guys are raw, so we can teach them the right way now. Everything will fall into place, hopefully come February. But I love the fact that, quote, it was a pleasure playing with guys like this. That's I love hearing that.
Grant, to be honest with you, Vlade has a pulse on this thing, man, because that's the type of environment that we created. And knowing that when we went in and we felt a certain way, we looked at each other, we spoke to each other, and we had each other. And when I hear that, it just makes me smile and makes me feel
good. It validates everything.
It absolutely does, Grant.
All right, let's get to Steve. Steve, you'll start us off here on this Thursday. What's up, Steve?
How you doing, Grant? Love your announcing every year. I'm excited about the Kings this year, and Fox was doing a great job last night. Reason I'm calling is because of the play you guys were talking about at the end. It just it's so suspicious. It makes no sense, especially after listening to what you guys are talking about with the with what they explained how it was supposed to go down. And I just go back to my sons and I went to a Giants game a couple months ago. And Brandon Crawford got a home run stolen off replay because the grounds rule official, they didn't know the rules, the ground rules. And the home run would hit the tin roof at AT&T Park, which is a home run. And they took a home run away from him and stuck him back on second. So replay to me is like, I don't want it anymore. If you can get rid of it, they keep saying, well, we want to make sure we get it right. And you know what? They're still not getting it right.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. A lot of times they don't get it right. Hey, Steve, thank you for the call. Ryan, you're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. I love your show. I wanted to comment on the last foul call that they had on Eric Gordon, but I want to get to that at the end. Willie Cauley-Stein, he played great. He's a defensive anchor. He just had three blocks, which were outstanding. I really feel like George Hill is consistent. He just makes the plays that he needs to make. And I think there was a couple of times I saw Buddy Hield. He went under the screen instead of over and allowed Harden or some of the shooters to get kind of a better look at the three-point shot. And, there was a play that I really just when De'Aaron Fox threw the alley-oops to Kosta Kupis. I don't know if that was something that was scripted or what he was trying to do there, but I don't think that was a good read to throw Kupis an alley-oop. And with the foul call at the end, I want to compare it to – so I'm a Niners fan, and there's been a couple of phantom calls that have been called on the Niners that could really, scratch your head and wonder, if there's something going on with referees that they have, this meeting, that they're going to call fouls a certain way or penalties a certain way based on the record or the talent of the team. So that's what I wanted to say, and I'll take.
Yeah, you know what? I know it seems like that, but you see, you're only looking at it from a fan's perspective. You have to understand the scrutiny that these officials go through with their bosses, and their success determines on how they do night in, night out, and their ability to work in the postseason is based on how they do during the regular season. And so, if they make erroneous calls too often during the regular season, then when their aspiration is to officiate in the championship round, they don't ever make it. So, you also have to look at it from the official's perspective. It may seem that way, and I get what you're saying, but you also have to put yourself in the shoes of an official. Their longevity and their postseason appearances are based on how they do during the regular season.
that totally makes sense. But at the same time, do you think that they're calling certain things on playoff teams because they want to, you know, referee for that team in a particular situation or later on in the year?
No, I don't think that's the case. But here's what I do think. I think that last night there was a big-time communication breakdown somewhere, either within the three officials with Bill Spooner, Kevin Scott, and Derek Richardson, a miscommunication with the replay center. There was something that did, that still, as I sit here right now, does not make sense. Because if all they were reviewing was who should be at the foul line, that should have taken 10 seconds, not 2 minutes.
And Grant, let me say this, and Ryan, there has to be an overruling factor, because if the call was called by underneath the basket, if he called the call, the other call was called something different. Now we come together as a unit, and you're talking about the referee unit, Grant. I have to say, I had the best vantage point. Trust me. And then let the video show that I believed. And that has to happen as
good point.
For the refs as
That's
a group
a good
as
point.
Well.
That's a great point. Hey, thank you for the call, Ryan. Let's get to Matt. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Grant. Doug, great job last night. So
thank
I've
you.
Been listening to the show, and the thing that popped off the TV to me, I watched it with my 15-year-old son last night. Nobody was crying on a foul. I mean, God, how refreshing was that to see not one player cry about a foul? I mean, that stood out to me the most.
Well, that changed last February, and we all know why that changed.
Yeah, most definitely. And I was Cousy was one of my favorite players, if not my most favorite. So, and then, you know, hats off to Vladdy again, because, you know, at that time when we got rid of Cousy, there was a lot of question. Well, I can see the vision now. You know, I didn't catch a lot of games last year. I finally got Comcast again, but you know, what a beautiful thing to see a real team. And these guys are first and second year players. And then hats off to them for bringing in some vets that actually aren't there to collect a check. And they look like they're vested in the team's growth, you know, i.e. Vince Carter and George Hill. There was a play where George Hill was walking off the court at the end of the game, towards the end. And they kind of turned their back to the head coach. And it's nice to see Vince Carter kind of be like that coach on the floor. What do you think about that?
I think you're spot on in every single thing you just said.
Yeah,
I could
man.
Not disagree with anything you just stated.
Not at all. And, Matt, hey, I appreciate you calling in and giving Vlade some love, because he took a lot of crap for quite a long time from my friend.
Most definitely, man. I'm a diehard Kings fan from back when y'all were playing with Peja. And, you know, I love those squads, and I love the way this one's, you know, Sacramento, look out, because this is the year we're going to look to as wow. You know,
yep,
this,
it's going to start.
This,
it is starting. Yep,
is it.
It's starting. It
Thank
may not,
you,
you know, we may not be getting playoff tickets this
right.
year, although you never know, but
yeah.
It's starting. It's the
you
process has
I
started.
Too, and I'll take this off the
yep.
air, was the doubles with Kufos and Temple. Great basketball IQ. And,
yep.
And I love the doubling at the end on Harden. You know the guy, everybody in the freaking stadium knows he's going to be casting. Get on him. You know?
Hey, thanks for the call. We have to get to the break. Doug and I will talk more about your phone call and the Kings next. Okay. Hey, it's Grant Napier, and I want to talk to you about Mattress Firm. Let me tell you about my experience. My wife and I, we went down to the Mattress Firm location this past weekend, and it was a great experience. We went to the store in Rockland, and we needed to buy some bunk beds, and the selection was just unbelievable. The prices, we were just like, wait a minute, that's all it is? And, I mean, the whole experience was super from start to finish. And there are so many great reasons to go to Mattress Firm. Find a location near you and do what my wife and I did over this weekend. Go down there and get something done for whether it's yourself or maybe you're getting ready for the holidays and you have friends and family coming in. It's all there for you at Mattress Firm. It was a great experience for my wife and I. Trust me, it will be a great experience for you. Don't wait. Take advantage of what's going on at Mattress Firm right now at a location near you. Don't forget, we are going to talk about tonight's game, Raiders and Chiefs, coming up at 4 o'clock with David Carr, of the NFL Network. Let's get to Bill right now. Hello, Bill. Bill, what's going on?
Is it Dylan?
Well, what's your name?
Dylan.
What's happening, Dylan?
Nothing much, man. Hey, I am pumped up. First of all, last time I called, I propped you and G-Man up to the moon. But I got to give a shout-out to Jerry Reynolds, too, because he's the man, and he should have the keys to the city. But there's a fox in the box, man, and I'm pumped up about basketball.
That was funny. I like that line, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I like that one, too. And we got, you know, I'm a Niner fan and a San Francisco Giants fan, so it's been a rough season. But I'm glad that basketball season's here. The team looks good. There's really, you know, I mean, nothing to complain about. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be lapses. But we played good last night. We had a chance to win even, you know, without, you know, we had a bad call, whatever. But I'm just happy that it's basketball season, man, and I'm pumped up. And that's about it, man. Good talking to you guys.
All right. Thank you. I think people enjoyed what they saw last night because they see the future. While they're watching that, they see, wow, you know, can you imagine how De'Aaron Fox is going to be, you know, when he's 22? Can you imagine, you know, and I, you know what I'm saying, Doug? And here's the other deal. Kings fans haven't even seen Harry Giles yet. Wait till you see him.
Oh, man. You know what? Kings fans, they love when you come out and you compete at a high level. Now, you pair that with skill and all the different things that we were able to do. Now, you want to see incremental improvement because you obviously see they're going to bring it every single night. They're going to come out and give you what you want. You're going to feel the sands. And I was just sitting there before, Grant, when you and I were doing the show yesterday, thinking, can you imagine play some real live basketball in this place? Boy, it is going to be rocking. I am so excited for it.
It's going to be amazing. You know, when people talk about Harry Giles' knees, and I respond like this, well, you know what? Don't worry about that. You know, look at Gordon Hayward. Look at Jeremy Lin. They're out for the year already, and they were 100% healthy when the season started. You know, so, you know, Doug, sometimes we overreact to these things.
Yeah. The fact that he's had knee problems, that's whatever. It's going to be, can he stay healthy? Just like anybody else. These players are totally healthy right now, and now they're not, Grant. If he stays healthy, he will be special.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You were talking about Ben Simmons earlier, Philadelphia. They did lose last night, 120 to 115. He played 35 minutes. He had 18 points, and he had 10 rebounds and 5 assists. Markel Fultz came off the bench. He played 18 minutes. He had 10 points, 1 assist, and 3 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, looking at, first of all, let me say Markel Fultz. Did you see his free throw?
I did not.
Oh, boy, it's not a good-looking thing.
Yeah, well, I know he was 5 of 9 from the line, but I didn't actually see video of it.
Yeah, you talk about people talking about De'Aaron's shot. I would be way more concerned with that shot than his. But when you talk about the ability for them to play at such a high level in Philadelphia, if they can keep Embiid healthy and, you know, you're running a – now they got a – he's 6'10", Grant, running the point guard position. Man, that is a – it's a
– Think about that for a minute, huh?
Think about it, man. And he looks totally, totally comfortable. That is a scary bunch they got in Philly. Again, but to the last college point, they to your point, Grant, they have to stay healthy, all of them.
And then you have the San Antonio Spurs. They're taking in the up-and-coming Minnesota Timberwolves, and they just wanted to send a really early message. Boys, not so quickly, huh? Not so quickly. The Spurs beat Minnesota last night 107-99. And again, I know it's one game. I'm just saying this. The Spurs just fascinate me. They really do.
Yeah, it is. It's a systematic approach, Grant, that you plug people in, and now you got to have skill. You got to have a lot of different things. But boy, no Kawhi Leonard out on the floor.
Exactly, no Tony, Kawhi Leonard,
no Tony Parker.
And no, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're still able to clip a team that's supposed to be on the upswing. Not very impressive. And I just heard Markel Fultz had a shoulder injury. That's why he's shooting like that. So
yeah, he's
hope.
Been bothered by a shoulder most of the preseason. But if you can't shoot and you're a point guard, then don't play. You know what I mean? I don't get it.
Yeah, because it wasn't a good look. Thing. It was, you know, really weird.
A team that I thought was going to slip this year in the West, and they very well may, the Memphis Grizzlies. But they had a really good first game against New Orleans, and they win 103-91. And, you know, again, it's the same people. Mike Conley, 27 points. Marc Gasol, 14 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. You know, they don't have Tony Allen anymore. They don't have but you know what? They just go out and they're a system team. They just go out and play the way they've been playing for years.
And they haven't missed a beat. I mean, you know, they got rid of some people, and Zebo didn't resign, and Tony Allen, you said, and then Coach Yeager left and his whole staff, and they brought in Fizdale from Miami and the way he's playing, and you got to give him a credit. They haven't missed a beat, and they still continue to play at a high level.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we are going to talk with David Carr from the NFL Network, and I want to get his take on what he thinks is wrong with the Raiders and really what's wrong with the Raiders' offense, because there is something wrong with the Raiders' offense. You can't deny it anymore. You know, everyone keeps on bagging on their defense. Well, what's wrong with their offense? That's what I want to know from David Carr, Doug. What's wrong with their offense?
Yeah, because, Grant, if you were going to bring it back the same way that you did last year and you're going to outscore people, this defense is probably about the same. I bet you if we look at the numbers, they might even be a little better. I don't know, because I haven't studied them that well. But the offense, it is absolutely falling off a cliff. And you have to say that's pretty much the reason that they're losing.
They're just and again, their season, you know, to me, in a game like this, if you don't see the best that the Raiders have to offer tonight, then something's wrong. I think the biggest key tonight from the Raiders' perspective is preventing Kareem Hunt from catching the ball in the flat and run after catch. We saw what happened last week with the Chargers, and they just Gordon just killed them running and catching the ball and then, you know, making big plays. The Raiders' defense is going to have to figure out a way to contain, because you're not going to stop. They have to contain this young rookie Hunt.
Yeah, well, you talk about Hunt, and then you add Tyreek Hill to that, and you add Kelce. That's a three-headed weapon, Grant, and they're having enough problems stopping one. So that means that if Alex Smith is able to go through his progressions, because they catch the ball out of the backfield and they run and they pass, man, this is a juggernaut, and the Raiders are going to have their hands full tonight.
Yeah, and speaking of the Raiders, we have them for you coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get you out to the Coliseum for all the action with the Raiders and the Chiefs. It should be a dandy. Tomorrow, a short show as the Kings take on the Dallas Mavericks. I'll be at the arena. Doug, you'll be in the Bay Area somewhere, I think, right? You're going to join me tomorrow or no for an hour?
Come on, man.
I didn't know. You know, listen, I don't know if you had a setup or not. You know, man,
I don't know that either as of yet, but I will do my best, man, even if I have to use a bullhorn.
All right.
I'm set up, man. They just told me in my ear I'm set up. I was going to use a bullhorn if I needed to. You'd hear me.
All right. Well, that's good. That's what I like to hear. All right. Speaking of, you know, talking about the Bay Area, there's a huge game tonight in the Bay Area. It's in Oakland. We'll talk with David Carr of the NFL Network. That's next right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.